Thank you, Remo. That was a beautiful word. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. So I just want to pray again, too. And Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to be up here to dive into your word and into your nature and character. And just yield my, I just yield myself to you, Father, and just ask that everything that comes out of me would be your heart, your thoughts, your words. Let it all be of you, Father, and please use this vessel to communicate this message to people, Father. And just bless us with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Wow. I love the way you ended that, Remo. It's all about God. It's all about God. It really is. And it's interesting, you know, when Pastor Moore gets a message, like for Sunday morning, he's always told me, like early in the morning, and he just receives this message, and it, you know, it was like he doesn't study, you know, all these things during the week and prepare for weeks on end. It seems like God gives him the message right away. And you know, I've heard of other people, you know, in different ways, and usually when I get the message that I believe God wants me to communicate, it's always on Tuesday morning, like when I first thing, when I wake up, if I know I'm going to be doing a message Wednesday night. And I really thought I had this message all set. And then I was praying this afternoon in front of the podium here, and I said, Father, what do you want me to say to them? I'm not quite sure. And he says, tell them I love them. And I said, that's not the message that I had on Tuesday. What's going on here? And so I was a little conflicted. I say, what's going on? And so I got down here when I got back from doing some shop. I said, Father, what am I supposed to say? And it says, tell him I love him. And I was just conflicted. I'm confused. I say, what's going on here? I mean, you know, I'm not that good a preacher that I can just change on the fly like that, you know? Anyway, I didn't realize it, but I was getting very confused and a little, like I say, conflicted. And I just said, no. God is faithful. He has always been faithful when I've been up here to give me a message. And I'm going to stand on his faithfulness because he's greater than my confusion and greater than any doubts that I have. So I said, God is faithful. And it kind of left. And all of a sudden I realized, well, we're going to talk about how much God loves us tonight, but we're not going to do it in the usual way. You know, we could go into 1 Corinthians 13 and go through all the aspects of love in the love chapter. We could go into Song of Solomon and talk about this, you know, Song of Solomon verses about how much God loves us and everything, but we're going to take a little different tack tonight, and we're going to talk about this beautiful subject of suffering. That's, we're going to find out tonight how God loves us in our suffering. So, Father, please just bless these words in Jesus' name. And lest you think we are not in a war, think again. We are in one heck of a war here. Steve Rollis gave me this thing. It says, put on the whole armor of God. And in it, it goes through all the various things. I mean, I can't remember, you know, off the top of my head, but it's like, you know, putting on the loin girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And I started to do that every morning. I just started to consciously put on the whole armor of God every morning. And it was amazing. You think, wow, that's going to be great. I'm going to be all armored up. Well, guess what? Things got worse. Things got worse. It's like, what is going on here? Well, you know, Gil Chaplin, the head of our deacons, has always said, you only catch flack when you're over the target. So you start to make inroads into Satan, well, you're going to catch some more flack. So we're in a war. We're going to be all over the Bible tonight if we have time. So if you want to get your fingers warmed up, we're going into different places. Because I really want, I think it's God's heart to show us what are we to learn from our suffering? How do we take his love out of that suffering? And like I say, you don't have to turn here, but I just want to read 2 Timothy because we were in this in our men's fellowship on Mondays, and there's a couple of verses in chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And here's a couple of verses. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So those verses right there are pretty much solid. It's like, okay, we're soldiers in an army, and we're in a war, and we're gonna have to fight. But fortunately, as we'll see in a minute, we have God who will fight for us. And what do we get out of our suffering? I just want to bring up a few points just to really sum it all up. First of all, suffering purifies us. And it causes us, in another way of looking at it, to get rid of our flesh. Suffering causes us to get to know Jesus more intimately. It causes us to know him better. And it causes us to get our eyes on him. Because when we start to get in the battle, we see that we're totally inadequate. Like William was saying, I mean, it's all God. We're totally inadequate without him. So I just want to start out here with that verse in 2 Timothy 3. It says, thou therefore endure hardness. That word hardness in the Greek is kakopatheo. And it's a compound word about suffering. That's the patheo part. It's like where we get the word pathos. But kako comes from kakos, which is intrinsic evil. We know there's three kinds of evil. There's kakos, which is the intrinsic. There's the paneros evil, which is the manifested evil. And then there's the conspiratorial evil. So it says right there, we're going to be faced with evil out there, and we're going to suffer because of it. But what do we get out of it? If you turn with me to Psalm 119, please. We'll start with verse 67. It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Verse 71 said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And in verse 75, it says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. So we may think that when we're going through these troubling times that it's just all of the devil. But it's God's faithfulness in afflicting us. Because like it says, then we begin to keep his word. We learn his statutes. And we learn that God is faithful and that his judgments are right. And in that, he shows his love to us. In Job 23, like I say, we're going to jump all over the place tonight, so please bear with me. This is one of those passages that maybe we've all experienced, kind of that dark night of the soul. It's like when we can't find God. He's hiding from us. And it says, then Job answered and said in verse 1, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him. I would fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he will put strength in me. There the righteous may dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, but I cannot see him. And here's the key verse, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And we know that gold in the Bible speaks of divinity. So after we've been tried, it's almost like that process of where the dross is taken off, all the impurities are taken away, and we come forth as gold. And that can only happen in the heat of the battle. That doesn't happen when the metal is cool. And also, it helps us to get rid of our flesh. It burns off that flesh. And this is not the usual chapter, but if you'll turn to me with Isaiah 58, please. Isaiah 58 is usually regarded, or is regarded, as the full mentioned chapter on fasting. And I've always read this, and I've never quite understood why this talks about fasting of food. And I'm just, again, you have to bear with me there. Please, if you'll read with me from like verse 6. It says, "Isn't this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward," or in other words, your protection. "Then thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out the soul of the hungry to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. Then thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thy own pleasure, nor speaking thy own words, then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to rise on high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." And really what he's saying there is, you know, I've always thought, like, that's what does that have to do with fasting food? And I don't think it really has anything to do so much with that, but he's asking us here to fast our flesh, to fast from our flesh. I mean, look at all those beautiful promises he makes here. That our light will break forth as the morning. Our health shall spring forth speedily. Thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord will be your protection. You'll call and the Lord will answer you. And he shall say, Here I am. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, satisfy thy soul in drought, make fat thy bones. Will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water and whose waters fail not. And will be the repair of the breaches. If we just, again, we don't do our will, but his will. Then we will delight ourselves in the Lord, and we will cause thee to ride upon the high places and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. So he's asking us to fast our flesh. And when we do this, all of these blessings are ours. And why? Because God loves us, and he wants to bless us. So he's asking us to do this because he knows this is the best thing for us, to fast our flesh, because that's when he is able to bless us. And I also said in the introduction that one thing that suffering does, it causes us to get our eyes on Jesus. What does that give us? Well, we can start in that famous place, if you would, in Numbers 21. This kind of begins it all. And this is where they were murmuring against Moses, as they did so often. Numbers 21, verse 5, it says, "And the people spoke against Moses, against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of the wilderness of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth us like bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." And I know really you can take this in a way of salvation, because we know that brass represents judgment. And when we look upon Jesus, that's almost like an Old Testament way of saying, when you're looking upon me, you're believing. So it's like, believe, look unto Jesus, and you'll be saved. But it also said that he lived. When we look upon Jesus, that bios life begins to fade, and the zoe life, that spiritual life, begins to take over. And that blesses us, because that we know we all have had enough of that bios life probably to last us for the lifetime. So the zoe life comes. And you know also, what do we get when we look at him? Zephaniah 3:17 says that God is joying over us with joy, that he rejoices, he's singing over us. When we look at him, we can see that he's singing over us, joying over us. Why? Because we're his kids, we're made in his image. He loves us so much. You know, when you think about your children, when they're behaving, even when they're not, but isn't it a joy? I mean, I look, you know, it's one of the things, I don't have any kids, and I'm not married, so I don't really have that personal pleasure, but like Ramo has two beautiful kids, and Dennis has three beautiful, you know, when we're out in outreach or whatever, I get a chance to see these beautiful little kids, and, you know, they're kind of like a vicarious way for me to be a parent, and it's just so beautiful to see these. Well, that's the way God looks at us. We're his kids. I mean, he doesn't want us, you know, to be kids forever in the sense of, you know, childish, but he always wants us to be childlike and enjoy him. And he's joying over us right now. Every one of you right now, he's joying over you just for the simple reason because you're his kid. And that's special. Like Ramos saying, when we get God making us our kid, we become special. We're the children of God. I mean, doesn't it say that we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ? Wow. And doesn't that bless us too? And what happens, this is Pastor Moore's favorite verse, and I love to bring this up. It's 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, when we behold him as looking like into a glass, into a mirror, when we behold him, we're changed from glory to glory to glory into his very image by the Spirit of God. When we're looking at him, Pastor Love always said this, and I will never, ever forget this. He says, we become what we behold. And I've mentioned this before. One of the things that really has gotten me up here is because I was beholding Pastor Moore all these years. I would behold Pastor Handel. I would behold Pastor Larry and see all these people up here. And really, I didn't really do anything except just follow him around and be a pest to him. Same thing with Pastor Handel or whatever, just kind of be a pest and follow him and follow him and follow him. And all of a sudden, I started to become like they were. You started going like on outreach, and you started to, you know, to minister to people and to love them and everything. That's all we have to do. It's very, very simple. We just be whatever we want to become. Behold. You know, I mean, Pastor's always talking about be careful about being a Fox News junkie too. You know, because I've noticed that when people watch too much of Fox News, they start to take on that critical spirit and they start to get combative. And I realized, you know, we have to know things. We have to know what's going on. But there can be too much of that. So if we want to become like Jesus, behold him. spend your whole day beholding Jesus. Just behold him and behold him and behold him. And like I say, when we behold him, we look into his eyes, those eyes of love. I mean, we've gone through Song of Solomon many times here. It says, you know, when we look into his eyes, it's like he says, turn your eyes away from me, for they're overcoming me. God says, just one hair, one lock of hair on your head captivates me. Just our hair captivates. Can you imagine what the rest of us does if just a little lock of hair captivates God so much he loves us? Good thing Nick Messina isn't here tonight. He doesn't have any hair. He'd feel left out, but I'd find out some way to make up for that. Anyway, if you have a chance to talk to Nick, he's really diving into the Word, becoming an amazing disciple. So just please encourage him. He's really amazing. And this is really interesting point too. If you'll turn with me to John 5:19, please, and then we begin to get to the crux of the matter here. Hopefully, I can do it in 10 minutes. John 5:19. And it said, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these things also doeth the Son likewise. How do we do the works of God? It says in John that we believe on him whom he hath sent. But what did Jesus do? He said the only thing he ever did when he was on this earth to do those works, really, I just did what the Father did. And what can the Father do? Anything he wants? Any miracle? Any act of salvation? Anything. Nothing is impossible with God. So if we keep our eyes on Jesus, if we keep our eyes on God, nothing shall be impossible for us either. And why is that important? Okay. Let's go to John 2, please. Verse 11. This was about when Jesus was doing the miracle of changing the water into wine. And it says, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. When Christ's glory is manifested, people believe on him. And if we're looking at Jesus, then he can use us as vessels to manifest his glory through, that people will believe on him. That's really what one of the main reasons why we're here. I was talking to, when we went down to Baltimore for convention, there was a seedy hotel that Patrick and I were going to stay at called the America's Best Value Inn, and it was kind of gotten a bad reputation, like Pastor Morris told us and Pastor Scott told us, if you don't even have to listen too hard, you can hear the ladies of the evening and all their customers doing their thing, you know. And I was saying, well, with my hearing, that'd be okay. I wouldn't be able to hear them anyway. I just turn down the hearing aids and I'd be fine. But, you know, this is, Pastor Scott calls it America's worst value. And anyway, we went down there, and fortunate we didn't have to stay there because Patrick knows this man down here, Pastor Dan Sergioni, and he was a Navy SEAL. And this guy is the real Navy SEAL. You know, Bill was in the Navy. He knows a little bit about that. But he was over in Vietnam, and he got shot up. I mean, my goodness, this guy, he got hit with some, like, one of those IEDs or whatever they call those things, and his leg got torn up. He can't move his foot all the way. His shoulder got torn up. He can't lift his shoulder. The shrapnel went through his eye. He's blind in one eye. I mean, this guy, when this happened, he was just covered with blood. He said all he smelled was like blood for a solid day. I mean, I don't know. That kind of must make you kind of sick, I would think, but he's the real deal. You know, and I told him one day when I called him up, I said, you know, he said, Mark, how you doing? And I said, I'm doing great. I'm really trying to get to know God better, trying to get to know him, go deeper with God and deeper with God. And he just, boom, like that. He always says, well, have you read Exodus 8, verse 1? And he said, and it says, Moses said to Pharaoh, let my people go that they may serve me. Not just to know him, but to serve him. We're here to serve him. We're here to be vessels of his glory so that others would believe. That's one of their main things that God wants to use us. Like Pastor said, we're in the family business of God's redemption. He wants more than anything else. The whole Bible theme is redemption, redemption, redemption of the sinners. And that's what we can be used for. When we're looking at him, that glory is reflected. It's like the sun and the moon principle. We look at Jesus. And we're like the moon, and that glory reflects off of us, even though we're just dirt, because that's all the moon is. It's just dirt, you know, a big ball of dirt up there. But you get the sun reflecting off it, and wow, it shines in the sky. I was just walking last night, and there was only like a 60% moon. I got this beautiful shadow. It's easy to see. So God is so bright, that even this ball of dirt can reflect his glory. And what happens when we reflect his glory? People come to know Jesus. They see Jesus in us. I've said so many times that one of the things that I prayed when I first kind of started my walk was that God make me so much like Jesus that if I was walking down the street with Jesus, that after somebody could talk to us for half an hour, they wouldn't know the difference. It's like, you know, who's Jesus and who's Mark? Well, I don't know. Isn't that the way we all want to be, just to reflect his glory that beautifully? Because that's going to bring people to Jesus. And that thrills the heart. We know that there's singing in heaven every time that happens. And then the final thing is, it says in Daniel 11:32, I think, that those who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. When we know him, we're strong. We're strong in this battle because it is a war. Just like Pastor Dan was one of those Navy SEALs. And can I tell you, everybody right here, every single person that comes out here to on a Wednesday night to hear the word of God, you are one of the elite forces. Can I tell you, just like the Navy SEALs are one of the elite, you are all one of the elite forces in God's army. If you're coming out here on a Wednesday night, you want to hear the word of God. You want to be equipped to win this battle and to win souls for Christ. And why is that so beautiful? Why is that also good? Daniel 12:3. Let those who were wise win the souls, and your light will shine like the stars forever and ever in the firmament. We just get more and more degrees of glory added to us when we serve God like that, and we get to shine. And why is that an aspect of God's love? Because he wants us to shine with him. He wants us to reign with him. And as we go about and do his work, then we get to shine forever and ever in heaven like the stars. Why? Because God loves us that much. And that's what he wants to give us, because we're his kids and he wants to bless us. So not only do we get the blessings here on earth, like Ramo was saying, of just his presence, of just his love, and that joy of just being God's kids, but we get to shine forever and ever brilliantly. And that's what God wants to give us, because he loves us and we're his kids. So like I say, just look unto Jesus. Just get your eyes on him. Reflect his glory to the world that is dying and needs it so badly. And we get the blessing. We get to bless others. And we'll shine forever and ever in heaven. And we'll get to hear that, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you. It was just, I hope that was your message. And I just asked tonight, if anybody, I don't know if this is being recorded or not, but if anyone is listening to this on the computer, anybody is here tonight that hasn't made Jesus Christ your personal Savior, I just would encourage you to do that. It's an amazing, amazing life to be known by God, to know God, and to be his kid. And I just really want to encourage you, if you haven't made that decision, it'll change your life. Yeah, there's going to be wars, and there's going to be some shrapnel headed your way and some plaque, and you may come out limping a little bit like Pastor Dan, but you'll still shine forever and ever, and you'll get to enjoy his love on the way there. Just all you have to do is just say, Father, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I'm a sinner, but I know you paid for all those sins. Just like that serpent was lifted up on the brazen rod, you were lifted up on a cross for me. Pay for all my sins. Give me that gift of eternal life and cleanse me forever and ever and ever so I can shine. And just I ask you into my life, please. I call upon you, Jesus, to be my Savior. Make me a child of God. Give me that gift of eternal life that I can live with ever, forever with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.